thank God for this great praise team. I thank God for the gifts in our church and how God uses everybody in a very unique way, and for us to be able to fellowship and worship God together. Amen. I hope you all had a wonderful week. Hallelujah. It's been kind of rainy. If you would, at the end of the service, our ushers would be out front, and there's that little black box on the wall out there. You can drop your tithes and offerings in there. And I just thank God for how He's so faithful to provide for us in every way of life. And just can't be so thankful for Him this morning and providing for all that He does. Pray for Pastor Lee and Carla. They are in Arkansas. Nope, they're in Eupora, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, Mississippi, ministering. And he'll be ministering this morning. Pastor Nathan Needlepeck's church in Eupora are in Philadelphia. And then tonight, he'll be at Pastor Luke Pogue's church in Eupora, and that's in Mississippi. So we want to remember them in our prayers this morning. But I just want to, if you would, Father, I thank you this morning. Just pray and thank God for this day. God, we thank you for being with us here this morning. I pray that you'd minister to us in your word. I thank you for your word and just the authority that it has in our life, God. And I pray that you would minister to us, God. Give me the ability to convey this word this morning to us. We just love you and we thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, I want you would, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look in Matthew 7 this morning, and then also Luke 10, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 58, and we'll finish up in Isaiah 61. So you want to begin to turn to those passages with me this morning. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 21 this morning. While you're turning there, I do want to remind you of the greatest two commandments that God speaks of in this great book, and it is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible makes it clear in 1 John that the way that we are shown our love towards God is the way that we treat other people. It's the way that we love other people. The Bible says if we say that, you know, we love God in whom we can't see, if we can't love the people around us, how do we love a God in whom we can't see if we don't love the people that are around us? And that shows our love for our Father is that the way that we treat and we have love towards one another. There every single day. Sometimes we can find ourselves walking through the world kind of like this. I know I've been guilty of it, and sometimes we have troubles and problems and struggles, or maybe, you know, we're on a high with the Lord and we're having a wonderful time of fellowship here in church and we're worshiping God and praising God and studying His word, and then sometimes we get out into the world out there and sometimes we forget about the people that are around us every single day. You all have people in your family and your workplaces and in the world that lives around you, and God wants to use your life in this hour, guys. I could never stress it enough. Pastor Lee could never stress it enough of how much God wants to use your life. He didn't leave us here so that we could just kind of finish off, coast through this thing till we get home to heaven. Praise God. Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to have a glorified body. No more fighting the elements of this world, amen, or the troubles that we battle with in our bodies. But we're going to see Him soon face to face. But until that day, God has called us to be ministers everywhere we go. I think I met about Miss Angie. I was with my mother and also with my wife last year with some troubles. So I was in and out of the hospital quite a bit, and I saw Miss Angie there on more than one occasion. And I'm just thankful for people that are in their workplace that God manifests His life through, and that God can use your life in a place where some of us can't even get into the hospitals at this time, but God's got you there. Amen. And so I'm thankful. So wherever you are in life, there's a world around you that God does not want you to neglect. Sometimes religious people. Now, I want to talk this morning about how we can get caught up in things and worshiping with God. And those things are a must, and it's wonderful. And then religious people spend a lot of time fasting, a lot of time praying. They're like, we want to see revival, and so we're going to pray more. We're going to fast more. And if they don't see revival, they felt like they didn't pray or fast enough. And I kind of want to touch in on that a little bit this morning, but the Bible says in Matthew 7, prior to verse 21, Jesus made a statement that narrow is the way, and few find that way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people go in that way. But there's a few people that find the narrow way, guys. That tells me a lot, and it's kind of fearful to hear that only a few be there that find it. You know, when you look out into the world today, and especially in the United States, so many people profess to be Christians. And there's a lot of churches that hold and house a lot of people every Sunday. But Jesus said that there will be a few that find it. So it is what it says. Matthew 7, if you go on down to verse 21, Jesus made this statement here. He says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then it goes on to say, but who is going to enter the? This is who's going to enter into the kingdom. "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Those are the people that are going to enter into the kingdom. Because he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe in God. I've called up on the name of the Lord. I've cried, Lord, Lord, save me. Or maybe I said a sinner's prayer in an altar. And so I'm trusting and believing because I don't want to go to hell when I die. So I'm saying, Lord, Lord. But the Bible says not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he's talking about the man or the woman that would enter into the kingdom of heaven, is he or she that does or doeth the will of God, which is in heaven. Now we know, what is the will of God? The greatest will of God is to be obedient to the commandments of God. And we know that we cannot do that apart from the Holy Spirit, right? So the greatest two commandments of this great book is to love God and to love your neighbor. So I would say to you this morning, those who do the will of the Father, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and those who love their neighbor as their self, that is the will of God. And there's many other places in the Bible that talk about God's will. It's God's will that no man perish. It's God's will that you bear much fruit, amen? And that fruit is love. And so there's a lot of places in there, but the greatest too is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So it says in verse 22, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now they're trying to show God, hey, I didn't enter into the kingdom, but Lord, I prophesied and I did it in your name. Aren't you pleased with my works? There's a lot of people that do things in the name of the Lord every Sunday, every Wednesday. Maybe they have big ministries. Maybe they have big mission things. And they said, Lord, aren't you pleased with the work that we're doing? We've prophesied. We did that in your name. We cast out devils. We did that also in your name. And Lord, we did wonderful works. We did these things for you. Aren't you pleased with us? Won't you please reward us for the works that we've done? Can't we enter in? And God says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And guys, that's going to be a sad day for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to come and stand before God saying, God, aren't you pleased with all of my hard works? How many of you know this morning, God's not looking for your works. He's just looking for you to trust in him. He's looking for you to turn to him. He's looking for you to believe upon him. And so God is not looking for your righteous works of any sort or what you can do on behalf of what could please him. The pleasing thing to him is that you believe upon his son Jesus. It says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be as one likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell and it was a great fall and a great ruin. So I'm just touching there. I want to start this in this little small foundation for this morning is that God has given you and I the ability to believe in his son. He's given you faith. He's given to the gospel for you to listen to the gospel and to believe upon the name of the Lord. So those that build their house upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ, those are the ones whose house won't fall. And I can tell you, we live in a great hour where the winds and the waves, can you say this morning, the winds and the waves have surely come against our house. And I can tell you, the winds and the waves are surely coming against the world's house. So what house have you and I built our foundation upon? Have we built our house upon Jesus Christ? Where are you today with God? And where are you standing with God? Okay? And I'm saying this to you and I this morning, and there's a lot of people listening to us on the internet that may not be in this room this morning, but God is speaking to us. He wants to reveal to us what his will is through our life every single day and what Jesus' will was when he came to this earth. Jesus was in love with his Father. Jesus praised his Father. Jesus was in intimate relationship with his Father. And that same life that Jesus, the man, but all God, had an intimate relationship with his Father. And he was always about his Father's business. Amen. If you would, turn over in Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 25 with me. We're going to read through this just for a moment. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25 says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," or tested him, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So here's a question about what he could do to gain eternal life. What shall I do? "And Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law, how readest thou?" So what does the law say? "And the man answered," look at verse 27, "answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself." That's what he said to Jesus. Or that's what Jesus, listen, it said to him. "And he said unto him," that, or the man said that to Jesus, "and Jesus said, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." In other words, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you shall live. And it says in verse 29, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said this. Pay attention close. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped this man of all of his clothes, beat him up, and then departed from the man, leaving him half dead." Y'all get a picture of this in your head? So he's drawing a picture of here what happened. This man went, he came from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among thieves, and the thieves robbed him, stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and then left him there to die. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest." Now, you could say that priest was a priest. It could be a pastor. It could be a person in church. It could be somebody on the praise team. It could be just an ordinary person. But a priest came on that way. And when he saw the man, he passed right by him. So he's like walking around. Here's this guy beat up. And he's just walking around looking, going, "Dang, I'm sorry that happened to that guy. That's a poor fella." But he kept on walking. Did nothing to help the man at all. That was a priest that did that. So we're thinking, man, that's horrible, right? And then it says in verse 32, "And likewise a Levite came, and he was passing the place, and he came by and he said, Wow, that's a shame that happened to that poor fellow. And he went around on the other side, didn't even stop to help the man." But it says in verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw the man, he had compassion upon him." Isn't that wonderful? "And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. He began to help clean him up, wipe the blood off of him, wrap some towels around his cuts, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his animal, whatever he was, a horse or whatever, donkey. And he brought him into the place like a hotel, and he began to take care of this man. And the next day came, and the man had to depart. He took out a couple of pieces of silver or gold, and he gave it to the man that was running the hotel. And he said unto him, Look, I need you to take care of this man and make sure that he gets well. He's been stripped of his clothing. He got beat up. He's got nowhere to go. And nobody stopped to help him. But I'm helping him because I had compassion upon this man. He said, Whatever you spend, more than what I'm giving you right now, if you spend a little bit more, when I come back through, I'm going to take care of your finances and pay you for that. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 36, Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on the man. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do ye likewise." Amen? Go and do ye likewise. Guys, that's speaking to us this morning. Amen? That's speaking to us this morning. Go and do ye likewise. Are you doing the will of God? I would say that this morning. Are we in the will of God? Are we doing the will of God? Because, you know, it's one thing for us to come in here and have wonderful services and praise services, have Bible studies during the week, ladies' Bible studies, men's Bible studies, and we're praying, and we're fasting, and we're believing for God to do great things in the world. And then it would be ashamed if we were to go out into the world having all that God's done for us, and God's given us so many things. God said, whatever I've given unto you, go and give unto others. Just like I've done unto you, go do unto others. I've laid my life down for you, so you go also and lay your life down for others. I've fed you. I've clothed you. I've taken care of you. I've not neglected walking around you. When I came into this world 2,000 years ago, I saw the condition of the world. The world was robbed. The world was beaten. The world was downcast. The world was broken. And the world was left to die in the hands of the enemy. And Jesus, aren't you glad when he walked by, he didn't pass us up, amen? He came to us, and he began to care for us and took care of our wounds. Aren't you glad for that? He began to clean us up, and he began to take care of us until we were well enough to get on our feet. And still today, he's not left us at all. He's still with us. He didn't have to go away. He's still with us, amen? So that's what God has done for us. But so many people, I'm not saying this is you here in this room this morning, but so many people in the world, in the name of Jesus, or in religious realms or whatever, I see it everywhere that I go, so many people praying for revival, praying, asking God, fasting, praying, reading their Bibles, trying to get before God and say, God, aren't you glad at all the works that I'm doing? You know, how come you're not helping me? How come I'm not getting what I want to in life? So I want you to turn with me in Isaiah 58. And I'm just going to kind of read through this for a minute. Isaiah 58, look at verse 1 with me. I'm going to hit on some highlights in here, so I'm going to kind of skim through it a little bit for the sake of time. In verse 1 of Isaiah 58, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. So the prophet is going to minister to the children of God, or the people of God, or my people. Yet they seek me daily. God notices people doing this. They seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, as a nation did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching me. These people, if you could just get a picture of what it's saying, you know, they're a nation that did righteousness. They're trying to keep the law. They're trying to do good. They're trying to go to church. They're trying to do the right thing. They didn't forsake the ordinance of God. They asked of me the ordinance of justice. God, show justice to people. You know, I need this or I need that. And look at what I'm doing. They take delight in approaching God. So people take delight in going before God and asking God for certain things. And it says in verse 3, wherefore, God, have we fasted, say they, and you see me not fasting? I mean, look at what I'm doing. Wherefore, I've afflicted my soul. Have you not taken knowledge that I have put away some of the things in my life, like fishing or hunting or eating or whatever it may be? I've laid that aside, Lord, and I've afflicted my soul. How come you're not taking knowledge unto me? And he says in verse 3, it says, behold, in the day of your fast, you will find pleasure and exact all of your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with the fist of the wicked. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be known on high. So it's like these people are going before God and they're all righteous and they're all holy and they're asking God for this and asking God for that. Yet they're treating the people in their workplace. They're smiting. They're shaking the fist. I can't believe these people are saying this on TV. I can't believe they're doing that. This is horrible. This is this. This is that. And we're just frustrated and angry at all the things that we may see in this world. Yet we're asking for God to help me. And Lord, if I fast, I'm hoping that you'll do something in return to me. It's kind of like we're trying to manipulate God here, right? It says in verse 5, is such a fast I have chosen unto you, a day that a man would afflict his soul? Do you think that's what really pleases me? Is it how you bow your head down as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Without call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? I mean, seriously, guys, am I asking you to do all of these things so that you can bend me to do something for you? Maybe you're asking God, Lord, I need this. I need that. I'm having trouble in life. I need a healing in my life. Lord, I need all of these things. I need things to go my way. I need favor in this. I need favor in that. I mean, we're asking God for all sorts of things in life. And it's like we press in and press in and press in wanting all these things from God. And Lord, I'm going to fast so I can get something from God. Or I'm going to do this in a religious act. I'm going to read more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to try to pray more so that God, you're pleased with all of my works so that I can get what I'm asking from you. And God says, is this really the fast that I've asked of you? He says in verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen for you? So this is what God really wants from our life. To loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke of bondage. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry and that you bring the poor that are cast out of your home? When you see someone naked, hey, go cover him. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Guys, I can be honest with you here this morning. I've been walking with the Lord for 22 years now, and I'm so thankful that God has kept me all of these years. Aren't you glad God has kept your life? And I can tell you what, I have had troubles in my life, and so have you. But I find that when I'm serving God, not so much being a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, maybe, you know, teaching Bible studies or whatever it may be, those are wonderful. Not how much I pray or spend time, you know, fasting before the Lord. But you know, and y'all can probably say the same, the more we spend time in other people's lives ministering to them, seems like everything just flows wonderfully in life. Number one, I'm not thinking about my own problems because I'm thinking about my brother's problems or my sister's problems. When I'm not praying for myself, wanting something for my own self, but I'm praying for something for my sister who's going through a difficult time, or somebody's house floods, and instead of me being selfish and like, I don't like the way that smells, it stinks, but Lord, I need you to help me with this, that, and the other, but I've laid my life, I'm going to go help my sister or my brother get their house put back together. Or you see somebody that is in a need, and we could easily go help them, but I don't have time for that. I'm running late for a prayer meeting or something, you know. See somebody in desperate need of something. But I find when we are giving ourselves to other people, our lives are so much more blessed. I mean, I think y'all understand what I'm saying here. Our lives are so much more blessed. So God is saying, listen, this is the fast that I have chosen for you. That you loose the bands of wickedness. How many people around your life every day are like that man that was beaten up laying around you on the side? You might not see them at the red lights or laying in the alleys, but there are people in your workplace that are broken. And there's our bands of wickedness that are holding people down. People are depressed. People are going through horrible times. Satan's trying to destroy their life. And they're going through hard times. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. There are people that are carrying heavy burdens in your workplace or in your family right now that are not walking with Jesus. And the reason that they're holding all that is because they're not walking with Jesus. But you know how God has undone the heavy burdens in your life. You know how God has broken all of those bands of wickedness in your life. You know how God has come and you were oppressed at one point in time and God came and set you free. And maybe he used one of you in this room to go help somebody, or somebody in this room has come and helped you to set the oppressed go free. Now we know it's Jesus doing all these things through your life, but it's God who's working in this. And that you break every yoke of bondage. Is it not to deal your bread with the hungry? Is it not to bring the poor that are cast out into your home? When you see someone naked, cover them. And don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Guys, are y'all hearing that this morning? What are we praying for? What are we asking from God? Listen to this. When this life, which is really the life of Jesus Christ being poured out of your life, begins to manifest itself by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the ability that God gives us through his Spirit. It says in verse 8, then shall your light break forth as the morning. Then your health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, you shall call and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry and he shall say, hey, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, speak in vanity. Y'all with me? If you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. How many of you want that this morning in your life? I do. I mean, I want God to do everything for me. Every time I say, God, help me, I want God to show up. And God says, you know what? I want to show up. I want to be there for you. In fact, I'm going to be there for you. But this is what I want from your life. I want you to be in such an intimate relationship with me and want nothing but me and want nothing but my perfect will to be done so that my son Jesus Christ is glorified. Just have intimacy with me. If you love me and talk about me and think about me and worship me and come to me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, just love me. That's what I'm asking from you. And you can't love me without me, right? Because God is love, and God puts his love in us by the Holy Ghost. So when you love me with all your heart, mind, and soul, then what's going to happen? We are going to love people. If we're loving God more than we're loving church, or more than loving fasting, or more than loving preaching, or more than loving doing church activity things, and I don't belittle any of that, but if that becomes our focus more than we love God, then we're not walking in the will of God, right? Therefore, y'all know what that happens. So I'll just leave it to what it says. But I know those of us that are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and we're loving God with all heart, mind, and soul, how do people know that you're loving God? Because you love other people. So when you see someone downcast and broken, someone's beat them up and wounded them, you don't just walk right past them. When your brother and sister is down and you're on a high with the Lord and everything's going wonderful for you, but your brother or your sister's weeping and crying, they've got family, they've family members that have passed away, they got family members that are sick, maybe they lost their job and they need help in some kind of way, and we say, oh, well, praise God, hallelujah, you know, God be with them, help them, amen, and just keep on walking by them. How do we show love for someone if we have these world's goods and we don't help one another? But I'm going to tell you what, I've been guilty of that myself. You know, an evangelist, you know, preacher of the gospel, travel all over the place. And there's been times where I've been caught up so much with my own affairs and what I want and what I'm wanting from God, I totally miss the people around me. How many this morning would say, I don't want to miss the opportunities that are around me? I don't want to walk through life like a racing horse with the blinders on me. I want to be able to see Jesus, but I want to see the people around me. Because if I'm loving God, I'm going to love the people around me. That's how people are going to know that I'm walking with God. Because that's what Jesus did. He came down here to come and pick us up. Like that man was broken and bruised and beaten and left for dead, Jesus came for us like that. And so we should never walk through this life and pass up the people around us. So I'm asking God this morning to help me. To help me not to neglect the people that are around me. Because I don't want to just manipulate God and say, God, I'm going to do this if you do this for me. I did that the first day I came to church. I'm like, God, I got a list for you. And if you meet everything on my list, I'll start going to church. Just made a deal with God. Let's make a deal. I made a deal with God. And it's like, I don't want to live my life making a deal with God. Hey, God, if I do these things for you, I'm expecting something back. You want to make a deal with God? Just die to yourself. Just give your life to Jesus and walk with God and let the Holy Spirit work through your life to love the people that are around us every day. That's the simplicity of what God wants through our life. But I can tell you what, the affairs of life and the way things are going in life right now, it's a hard life out there. And it seems like every day that goes by and more things pop up in our life, it just seems to try to squeeze in on us. How many of you know the devil does not want you to see the people around you? He does not want you looking after people around you. And sometimes I believe he brings things across our path to try to trip us up, break our faith, keep our knuckles dragging so that we got a frowny face in life and we're not shining bright like we should. And if I've got all the concerns and I'm praying, God, help me with this and help me with that, and I'm missing all the people around me, it's not what God wants of my life. But the good news is that if I am in intimate relationship with God and I'm loving God, then God is going to love through me, and He, through my life, is going to go to the man with the afflicted soul. He is going to go to the wicked and break the bonds. He's going to undo heavy burdens. He's going to let the oppressed go free. He's going to break every yoke of bondage. He's going to feed those who are hungry. Those that are poor and cast out, He's going to bring them in. He's going to cover them. He's going to heal them. He's going to do everything for that individual so that life can come to that person. And Jesus paid it all. Amen? Jesus paid for that. And if there's anything that needs to be more, Jesus is going to take care of us. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm so thankful. Listen to this. If you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, verse 10, then your light shall rise in obscurity and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide you continually. Isn't that wonderful? And satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. From your belly will flow rivers of living water. You will not be a drought person. You will not be cast down, but God will take care of you. Like a spring of water, the water just keeps gushing and flowing. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day or Sunday or when we gather together, the holy of the Lord and honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own thing. How many people on Sundays do their own thing? Not finding your own pleasure, this is the way we're going to do it. Nor speaking your own words, this is what we feel like we need to say. But if we honor God and put everything in His hand and let the Holy Spirit lead us, then now you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride high upon the high places of the earth, and you shall feed, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob thy father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. And this last passage I'll share with you in Isaiah 61. It says in verse 1, excuse me. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is prophecy of Jesus. Because He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Guys, that was us. He's come unto the meek. He's come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. This is what Jesus came to do. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our Lord God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it wonderful? That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. How is He glorified? By doing all of these things in our life, God is glorified and we become the planting of the Lord. And I can tell you what, if you're a tree planted of the Lord, you know what kind of fruit you're going to bear? What is it? It's love. Amen? It's love. You're going to be the planted of the Lord and you're going to bear the fruit of love. Amen? And in that love, you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, that alone will prove that you're in an intimacy with God. Who are those that enter into the kingdom? It's those who do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. So I say this to us this morning, if you stand to your feet. Where's your life at with Jesus? I will preach this everywhere that I go because I know that not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom. Not everybody that goes to FNT Church will enter into the kingdom. Not everybody that goes to such and such church will enter into the kingdom. I spent most of my life thinking I was a Christian. Said, Lord, 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 probably 10 times, 7, 8 times in my life. I never would have entered into the kingdom. I never saw people around me. I could care less about people back in the, when I was lost. I didn't care about people around me. All I cared about was Jeff Lee. What I could get in life. What I could gain in life. And I have found myself, even as a believer, finding myself getting, because we still live in this old tabernacle, right? Soon we're going to be escaping this old guy. But until that day comes, I'm going to tell you what. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon my life. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus, that man, and who laid his life down for the people around him everywhere that he went. I just told you what the Spirit of the Lord did through his life. That same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is who comes upon our life to lead us and guide us and direct us and to let us see this man's been beat up, broken, and bruised, and he needs help or she needs help. And we extend our life. Give, church, what you've been given. You've been given life. Give that life. You've been given abilities, finances, whatever it is. Give to those who have a need. Because I'm going to tell you what, in doing that, you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen? So seek those things which are above. Just close your eyes. And Lord, we thank you so much for this great morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the simplicity that's in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, God. And if there's anyone listening to my voice this morning that's not walking in your will, seem like the cares of life are just coming against them. Maybe they don't even know you. I pray, Father, for salvation for those that don't know you. I pray that everyone that hears my voice this morning, please know the Lord. It'll be a sad day for many people to say, but Lord, look what I did. God's not pleased with our works. There's only one thing pleasing in the sight of God. It's Jesus. We have to put our faith in Jesus. We have to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So call on him this morning in church. Those of you that are born again, ask God for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God this morning. That in this life, God, fill me today. In this life, God, I would not neglect the people around me. But Lord, I would go through this life every single day, desiring to walk with you, desiring to hear your voice, desiring to see the people around me that are broken and bruised and lost in their sin and dying in their sin. That Lord, as you have forgiven me, God, I can forgive others. And if you have given life to me through the gospel, Lord, I am a debtor to the world for that. Guys, we owe this world the gospel of Jesus Christ. We owe this world the power that lives within us to lay hands on the sick and that they would recover, to give to those who have a need, to break the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. Guys, we have an authority that lives in us by the power of the Holy Ghost. That authority belongs to you. All power has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth, and he lives in us, guys, and we have that ability every day. Go in this world, guys, and let God do what he wants to do. And the rewards is a life with God and ever blessings with God. Even through the bad times, we will always be a blessed people because the Lord is our shepherd. We'll never lack in anything. Amen. Can you thank him this morning? Father, we love you this morning and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.